Father, may we today take heed to the words of the psalmist that tell us to give praise unto the Lord, for He is good. Praise, O God, from us is pleasing in Your sight if given from a heart of faith and trust in You. And Lord, I am asking that today our praise will be focused upon, centered upon You and our Lord Jesus Christ in a way that will bring honor and glory to Him and not to ourselves. That especially today we will worship in spirit and in truth as the Scriptures instruct us. And that we will honor Him who came, who lived, who died upon the cross of Calvary to give His perfect life, His infinite valued life, that we might have and share with Him eternal life. Thank You that He poured out His blood unto death, that He gave His life an atonement for our sins, that He laid down His life and then 3 days later He took it back up again. And now, O God, our Father, we worship Him who is seated at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, there making intercession for us and advocacy for us who still are troubled in this world by sin and all of its effects. We thank You and may we worship Him truly today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's start with hymn number 8 this morning. Hymn number 8, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Let's stand as we sing together hymn number 8.
Of doubt away, giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All Thy works rejoice around the earth and happy deck Thy rays. Stars and angels sing around Thee, center of unbroken praise. And forest, vale, and mountain, starry meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in Thee. Thou art giving and forgiving, ever blessing, ever blessed, wellspring of God. Happy rest. Thou our Father, Christ our brother, all who live in love are Thine. Teach us how to love each other, lift us to the joy divine. Mortals, join the happy chorus which the morning stars began. Father, love is reigning o'er us. Brother, love binds man to man. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
Turn to our next hymn, hymn number 28, For the Beauty of the Earth, hymn number 28.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the sun.
Scripture reading this morning, I'd like to invite you to turn first to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law by Moses to the children of Israel. Chapter 6 is accounted by all, Jews and Christians alike, to be a very significant portion of the Torah, the instruction, the law. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1. Now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess, that you may fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command you, you and your son and your grandson, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now the great Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then if you would turn forward to the book of Matthew, in Matthew in chapter 22. And we'll start reading in verse 35. After our Lord has rebuked the Sadducees for their unbelief in the doctrine of resurrection, the multitudes were astonished. The Pharisees gathered together and tried to come up with a trick to get Jesus to say something wrong. Verse 35, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I've been thinking lately about writing a book. Well, I've actually thought about writing a lot of different books, but there's just no time for that sort of thing. The title of the book would be Loving God. Deuteronomy and Matthew, standing as they do at the beginning of their respective testaments, emphasize to us that the first thing, the first priority, the thing of first place, the most important thing, is that we love God with all of our hearts. And flowing out of that, of course, will be the love for our neighbor, because God loves our neighbor, and if we're loving God, we're going to be more like God, and we'll love our neighbors as well. These things are the kind of sum and substance, the nut, if you will, of biblical Christianity. That you love God, of course. How do you love God today? You've got to love God through Jesus Christ, whom He sent. If you don't honor the Son, you don't honor the Father. God sent His Son into the world to demonstrate His love for us. And how do you love your neighbor? Well, by following the command of Jesus to love one another as He demonstrated and loved us. But this is a topic which I've thought, as I mentioned, about writing on, because I think there's a big deficit in our love for God these days. We love a lot of things. We love people. We love money. We love our jobs. We love stuff. We love anything and everything other than what we're supposed to. Oh, I'm not trying to accuse us all of not loving God, but this is a real test. You know, when we get into all kinds of debates and theological questions and controversies and everything, I think one thing that would help us is looking at whatever topic is under debate, ask yourself, how in that topic can I love God with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength? And I think a lot of the controversy would just kind of melt away. If we truly love God and with all of our hearts, we will not be in such controversy with one another and over doctrinal matters or other matters. But this is the teaching of the Bible. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and others add strength. So give everything to God that way and love Him with your heart. And if you do that, then it will just kind of overflow and flow to your children, parents, and grandchildren, grandparents, and to all of those in your life. So make sure you're loving the Lord your God with everything that you have, with all that you are. Put Him first. It's sort of like, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all that other stuff, God will take care of all of that. Don't have to worry about it. Don't have to just lose any sleep over it. God's going to take care of that. And you'll see a lot of things change. Your eyes will look at things differently. The more your love for God is lifted up, then the farther down the scale the things of this world seem. Remember the love of the world. Those that love the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And so we encourage you from the Scriptures this morning to love God with all of your heart. Let me look to the Lord in prayer just now. I have a number of things to pray for this morning. Folks who are not well and in need of touch from the Lord. I also have here a request list from a new church plant in Butler, Pennsylvania, Butler Bible Church. We'll pray for them as well. Join me if you would, please. Father, we thank You for the gift of life. We thank You for the gift of spiritual life. We thank You for this reminder from Your Word that is ever needful. There are so many pressures from the world, from our flesh, and from the devil to take the love of God and chuck it. Oh, Father, I pray that it will not be said of us that we have lost our love or first love for You. Help us to foster, nurture, cherish, uphold, exalt the love of God and Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us first and showing us how that can be done. Lord, I want to pray for those who maybe wonder where the love of God has gone as they suffer the terrible consequences of this huge storm that swept through the Philippines. Many there have perished. Many are still alive but are suffering injuries or lack of basic food and water. Oh God, I pray that you will provide them the help they need in the nick of time before it's too late for them. And we pray most of all that the glorious gospel of Christ will get opportunity in the lives of these people to call them to you. I want to pray for the ill in our church, to intercede for them to be well this morning. We pray for those who maybe came but are not feeling at 100%, for those who are not able to be with us due to their health. Lord, we think of Brother Lori and our sister Gail. We pray too for Mrs. Beard and Chuck and Joyce so they can come more regularly. It still struggles for them. And Lord, there are others too. We just lovingly commend them to you. I want to pray, Lord, for those who need jobs in our assembly. I pray that these coming days will be ones of great progress in that matter, that they will receive a call to work, to use their skills, their time, to be able to earn a living. Some have waited for a long time, O Lord. I pray that they will, as we've just mentioned, seek first your kingdom. And Lord, that you will demonstrate to them the keeping of your promises. You have up until this time met every need. Every need, and yet there are still some. And so we pray that you will help. Give them the job that you have in mind and change not just us, and not just our jobs, but us. When we need to be changed and sanctified, maybe to be made more suitable for the job that you have given us, and to do a better job. Lord, I pray that our closest relationships will be honoring to you, whether it's marriages or parents and children. Lord, I pray that those who have lost hope, that some relationship may be restored or recovered, will find their hope in Jesus Christ. Perhaps some parent has lost hope that their child will come back to the faith, or some husband and wife that they will ever have good terms between them again. Or whatever the case, Lord, you can work, and we trust that you will do this. We ask publicly, corporately, earnestly, and knowing that apart from you, nothing good will come. So we appeal to you in humble faith. I want to pray, Lord, for our Howell Outreach Ministry, that tonight will mark a good step of progress in that work, that you will provide everything that is needed to carry on and have a witness in that community that is effective for the cause of Christ. I also want to pray for Butler Bible Church in Pennsylvania as they move on in the years of their planting work there, that you will provide them a good Sunday morning today. Help Pastor Steve and his wife and the children and all of the church family there. We ask that you will bring out new people and that they will see souls saved and added to the church. We pray for increased interest among the contacts for the Word of God and for participation in those ministries. We'll give you thanks. Watch over us this morning. Oh God, that everything done here will honor you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite the men, if they will, come forward and take up your offering for the Lord's work here at Fellowship Bible and around the globe, as we've already mentioned a little bit briefly this morning. But, gentlemen. Amen to that. It is well with my soul. Let us look to the Lord and pray, offer thanks for the offering. I wonder if, Brother Duane, you could lead us in that prayer this morning. Amen. Thank you, gentlemen. As the gentlemen walk to the back, I want to invite the ladies' ensemble to the front. And we look forward to your ministry. Another offertory.
Stand and take our hymn books, 576, for our next hymn together. Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Let's stand as we sing. The children can be dismissed at this time. 576.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. We need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy faults repair. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus. Thou Thou hast bought us like we are. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, Thou hast bought us like we are. We are Thine to the bereft us, be the guardian of our way. Keep Thy flock from sin, defend us, seek us when we go astray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, hear us when we pray. Thou hast promised to receive us, poor and simple though we be. Thou hast mercy to relieve us, grace to cleanse and power to free. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn to Thee. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, early let us turn. Let us seek in favor, early let us do Thy will. Blessed Lord and only Savior, with Thy love our bosoms fill. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast loved us, love us still. Blessed Jesus, Thou hast loved us still.
Thank you. You may be seated.
Can't get away from Romans chapter 8 for too very long because it's such a good portion of Scripture, but I have to spend some time this morning to discuss with you, to teach and talk about the matter of Jesus loving the little children. Before I get there, though, let me just do go to Romans 8, and you don't have to turn there. We won't be there for very long, but just to read the next verse in our exposition of the book. It says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose." The context tells us ultimately what His purpose is. His purpose is to conform us to the likeness of Jesus Christ, and that He might not only call us or justify us, but He might also glorify us together with Him in the heavenly state forever and ever. We know that all things work together for good to those that love God. Now, let me ask you this question. Do you believe that all things work together for good to those that love God? I'm not asking you if you believe all things are good, because some things are rotten. But God uses even rotten things to work His purpose to conform you to the likeness of Christ in your life. He does that. And He tells us, we know, we ought to know, we better know. If we don't know, we're going to be awfully discouraged when those rotten things come. And even the good things might seem to be purposeless unless we are to know this verse, this teaching of Holy Scripture. But, you know, those things are only good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We're going to look at this in much more detail next time the Lord provides us opportunity. But you cannot latch on or claim this promise unless you are one of those called His own, that are one who loves God and are the called according to His purpose. So if somebody's having a rotten time and they're an unbeliever, that might be the extent of it. It's rotten. But maybe the Lord would use you to encourage them to believe in Jesus Christ and to be in that place then where there is truly a silver lining, if you will, behind the clouds as they come, and inevitably they will indeed do that. They work together for good. All of you have experienced that. All of you, we have all together in some way or another. God is working in our lives. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning and could share with us, I'd like to have you turn to Psalm 127. We'll be there in just a few minutes. We're here this morning to enjoy the dedication of four children with their parents and families. We have Gabriel Paul Monty. Gabriel's name means the mighty man of God. We have Jonah Aaron Reeves, a name which, Jonah that is, appears 27 times in the Bible and means a dove. What a blessed name. Josiah Carnes, a name appearing 50 times in the Scripture and meaning whom Jehovah heals. And then we have Nathan Dwayne Reed, whose name means a gift from God. Four children, four young men, four Bible names, four families who are dedicating their children to God today. To set the stage, I want you to know that we are not baptizing the children today. We're not christening the children today. They do not become members of the church today. They do not have their original sin washed away, nor are they guaranteed heaven after the service today. Rather, what we're doing is we're presenting them and really their parents as well to the Lord, saying that we understand that the children are a gift from God. That as a gift from God, God expects us to exercise a good stewardship over that gift. Like everything else, only unlike everything else, it's like everything else in that it's a gift from God. Everything you have is from above. But it's unlike everything else in that there is nothing else that's comparable to the value of a human life. God requires us to raise our children properly, and when we have the dedication service and a little ceremony and prayer at the end, what we're saying is, God, we want for them what you want for them. What we want for them is what you want for them. We want them to have your best in their life, not our best, because our best is very far short of God's best in our natural selves. But God, we want you to have them, to use them as you please. It's also important to know that the children that we dedicate today are not our primary focus. Just like children are not the primary focus in the home. In other words, the home doesn't revolve around the children, right? The church doesn't revolve around the children either. Today our goal is to have God the Father and His Son Jesus Christ at the center, very center of our attention, with the Holy Spirit ministering as He so wonderfully does in each and every heart, we trust today, in the background, doing what He does to reveal the things of Christ to us through the Word of God. If we walk away from here just thinking, oh, that was nice to see the little babies and all that, then I feel like I would have failed in my purpose for today. What I hope is that you will walk away from here changed in your relationship to Christ. That if you don't know Him truly, that you will know Him truly. And that if you know Him, that you will know Him better and what His requirements are for you in the matter of child rearing and so on this morning. So really, we take this opportunity to focus upon God with the added benefit of having a little focus upon the children as well. And boy, do we love children. We love children. One of the reasons we love children is because God has put that love in our hearts. One of the signs of the last times is that natural affection goes away, and that parents don't love their children, and siblings don't love their other siblings, and children don't love their parents. For those of us that are filled with the Spirit of God, there's no room in our hearts for that kind of hatred. We love children because God loves children, and God has given us these as a gift. Now, I begin in my notes this morning with advice that you don't find in your Bible. I know that might shock you because we try to preach just right out of the Bible, but I'm doing this, as I did before, anti-advice. I'm going to give you 7, 8, 9 certified ways to ruin your child. I hope you'll understand that you shouldn't do that, but I'll tell you good ways to do it, okay? So first of all, don't discipline them when they do wrong. A good way to ruin a child. Particularly, let them get away with direct disobedience, rebellion, and disrespect. You must always allow them to get away with disrespect if you want to ruin your child. Don't teach them to work hard. Do their work for them. And wait until the last possible minute before you say, son or daughter, about time for you to get a job. Don't teach them manners, and certainly not to have a good attitude. That would be awful if you're trying to ruin your child. Don't give them, or do give them everything they want. My, you wouldn't want the poor little thing to be disappointed about not getting everything they wanted. Here's one that's bothered me lately. No, actually, this is a good thing here. Do let them play all kinds of video games to fill their mind with violence. And get them used to the feeling of being addicted to something. That's great stuff, isn't it? Let them communicate with their siblings using text messages. You don't want them to learn interpersonal communication skills, do you? I mean, far better to do it by text message than directly face-to-face, wouldn't you think? Do sit them down and teach them that church just isn't very important. In fact, teach them that many other things like school and sports and entertainment are more important than the local church's ministries or Bible reading or prayer. You wouldn't want them to get their priorities out of whack if you're trying to ruin your children. Certainly do not teach them what their biblical role is in life and in the home. Don't model it for them, for goodness sake. Don't expect your young ladies to learn how to keep the home and how to be diligent, virtuous young women like Proverbs 31. And don't expect your young men to work hard and save money and pay their own freight. That would be the worst. And finally, most certainly, do not teach them the gospel of Christ if you want to ruin your children. Hide the gospel. Don't tell them about God. Don't tell them that they're sinners. Don't tell them that Jesus died for them. They might get saved if you tell them that. You want to ruin your children, right? Don't tell them about the resurrection of Christ. Don't tell them how to turn from sin and believe in Him to receive eternal life. They wouldn't want that anyway. These are effective ways to ruin a child's life. But really, may I say, you don't want to do that? You really don't want to do that. Because in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 18, the Bible said that if you cause one of these little ones to stumble, it would be better for you to have a heavy millstone tied around your neck and you be cast into the sea and drowned than the consequences that you will receive from the Lord. Jesus Himself felt so strongly about offending and harming little children that He used that kind of That's not very friendly language, is it? He used that kind of expression to say how displeased he was at offending a little child, at causing them to depart from Christ. That is serious business. Children are important to God. If you look at all the verses that use the word children, just children in them in the Bible, and take away all the ones that talk about the children of Israel, because that doesn't really mean kids, but the people of Israel, you still have about 600 verses in the Bible that refer to children. Do you think that God has children as an afterthought in His mind? Children are a precious gift. They represent the kind of the beginning and the best of life. Sort of goes downhill after you're born, you know. Not to be too depressing, but you know, we grow and mature and improve and then soon you start to degrade and you long for the good old days when you were young and strong and you know, didn't have so many aches and pains and all of that thing. But God has given us a very clear message that children are important to Him. Some verses from the Bible, Psalm 127, where you're looking if you turn there this morning. Children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is a reward. And then just a little forward in your Bible in Proverbs chapter 17, in verse number 6, the Scripture says, children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of their children is their father. And then finally in Proverbs 20, in verse number 7, oh, there's many, many more, but just selected a few. The righteous man walks in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. God loves children. Call to mind, if you would, God's care for orphans and widows. Back from way back, Exodus chapter 22, verse 22, the Bible prohibits the mistreatment of orphans and widows throughout the text of Scripture. But here, just after the Ten Commandments, in Exodus 22, verse 22, it says, "You shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child." There is something extra morally repugnant about a man who will mistreat an orphan. Don't you agree with me? Or a man who will mistreat a widow and take advantage of their less protected state because they don't have a man to stand up for them. God hates that. Absolutely. Deuteronomy chapter 10, Proverbs 23, Isaiah 1:17, Zechariah 7:10, Malachi 3:5, and last of all, God says in James chapter 1 and verse number 27, He gives us a definition of what true religion looks like. True religion, what does it look like? He says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. This is God's love for orphans and for widows. God loves the children. Let's turn our Bibles back to Matthew 19, which is the text that is the central focus of my message this morning. In Matthew 19, verse 13, may I just read it to you this morning? It says, "Then little children were brought to Him that He might put His hands on them and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, 'Let the little children come to Me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.' And He laid His hands on them and departed from there." Jesus spent time with children in His public ministry. This account is given three times in the Gospel writings, Matthew and Mark and in Luke. Now, when you read something several times in the Bible, you've got to realize that it's being emphasized. The Lord wanted this to be emphasized. He only has to say it once to make it true and binding, doesn't He? He because all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for that. But he's mentioned it three times here. This must have stuck out in the minds of the disciples, and the Spirit of God wanted us to have it emphasized to us. I have 5 points. I'm on page 3 of my notes if you're following along. Page 3. Number 1, parents brought their little children to Jesus. I want you to just get an idea of how precious this is. That some parents had newly born children or young children that maybe less than a year old or a year or two old, and they brought these children to Jesus. Why did they bring them to Him? To seek His blessing. It says there in verse 13 that He might put His hands on them and to pray. They wanted Him to touch their children. They wanted Him to pray over their children. I'm going to assume and ask you to do the same that these parents were not just looking for some miracle worker or some magic to be applied to their children. I am understanding this, that they were sincere and genuine in their approach to Christ. To ask for divine blessing upon their child, they could see, some could see, the Pharisees didn't, but some, that this man must be from God. He had to be from God. He couldn't do the works that he did unless he was from God. They knew that. They brought their children to him, godly parents wanting the best spiritual and physical outcome for their children. What better place to go than to Jesus himself to receive such a blessing and to receive such prayer on behalf of their children? No better place to go. Think of yourself bringing your little baby to Jesus and asking Him, Lord, would You bless my child? Please. And the disciples acting as gatekeepers to the Lord Jesus say, no, that's not allowed. He's too busy for you. He has better things to do. Children are unimportant in their minds to the mission of Jesus and are a waste of His valuable ministry time. Many people today have the same attitude about children. Children are inconvenient, so we abort them. Children are a hassle, so we babysit them with technology and hired help. A new baby prohibits me from getting back to my career, so I have to go back and leave him behind. Children cut into my disposable income, so I won't have too many, if at all. I trust the attitude of the disciples has not weaseled its way into our hearts and lives. Jesus, in turn, rebuked the disciples. Oh, the parents hearing these words from the disciples must have been crushed. But the authority stepped in and he said, now just wait, if I could say, a cotton-picking minute. Jesus says to them, you can't do that. Let them come to me. Do not forbid them. Look at these parents. They want the things of God. He turned to the disciples and rebuked them. The parents' desire for a blessing and prayer and for His touch was a good desire. And so it is with our parents bringing the children today to be dedicated. It is a good desire to come before the church in a public way and to say, God, we want You to be the God of these children. We want You. We want to give them to You. We want You to run our homes. We want these children to be blessed in every physical and spiritual way possible by Your hand. Now, I'm the first to recognize that my prayer and my touch has nothing in comparison with that of Jesus. But I'm also not unbelieving enough to think that prayer does nothing. God works through the prayers of His people the righteous and fervent and effective prayer does accomplish a lot. Elijah was a man like us, the Bible says, and what did he do? God, don't send rain on this land for 3 years. And God answered him. Amazing. And then you remember he got down on his face before God and said to send the rain. And what happened? That little cloud out there that was just the size of a man's hand came and deluged the land. God answered his prayer. So we too can experience the blessing of answered prayer in the will of God. And that's what we trust to do this morning as we pray over these little ones. Jesus expressed why the children should be allowed to come to him. You think they're not important or they're inconvenient? No, no, no. It's these who are the very pictures of humble faith as to how a man or woman comes into the kingdom of God. In chapter 19, it says in verse 14, "For of such is the kingdom of heaven." Maybe we could look at a parallel passage and see. Let's look in Mark 10. Mark chapter 10. In verses 13 to 16, the scriptures teach us. Same kind of context here. The disciples rebuked them. Jesus saw it, was greatly displeased. And he said to them, "Let the little children come and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter into it." You want to go into the kingdom of God? You better get like a little child in your trust and faith in the Lord. Luke chapter 18, verse 15, the other parallel passage, it says, "Jesus called them to him and said, 'Let the little children come to me and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will by no means enter it.'" I can't help but think about this when I'm reading and kind of floating in the scholarly or academic circles of Christianity, and you've got all kinds of theories about how this Bible text doesn't mean what it seems to say and all this stuff. And you just think to yourself, man, whatever happened to being a humble little child and receiving what God has said at face value, believing in Christ and just entrusting yourself to Him? Strange, strange ideas that our people have today. But this is what humility looks like as a little child. A child is a great picture of dependence on others. We've been watching some of the old Wild Kingdom series, and you see a gazelle or something that's born, and within a few hours, it is able to be so fleet of foot that it can run from the terror of a lion attacking it with its mother. Now, of course, sometimes it doesn't work out so well, but a little baby, how long does it take for a little child to be self-sufficient? Years, right? Some of them longer than others, right? Oh, the picture of dependence of a little child just outside of its mother, and for the first months, it needs everything. It can do nothing. Well, it does a few things, but come on. This is what the Lord is saying. You cannot get yourself to heaven. You cannot work your way to heaven. You got to understand that you're like a little child who's sitting there completely at the mercy of whatever. You have to just cry out to God, and I mean cry out to God and say, "God, save me through Jesus Christ. You promised that if I just call upon the name of the Lord Jesus, I would be saved." By the way, he also stakes his reputation on that promise, because there's no one that's called upon the name of the Lord that has ever been put to shame. He keeps all that have come to him through faith in Jesus Christ. Well, that's what you have to do in order to become a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. If you do not trust in Christ like a little child, then you will not enter into it. You'll be lost for eternity. Now, the Bible says at the end of our passage in Matthew 19:15, "And he laid his hands on them and departed from there." This blessing was a pronouncement, perhaps a prayer wish from the Son of God to the Father. Whenever the Son prays to the Father, you can be assured that it's prayed according to the will of the Father. And the Son prays, he offers his blessing, lays his hands upon these children and sends them off from there. And those parents were as happy as could be that they had received what they requested, the blessing of the very Son of God. Now, there are some ways that we can honor this example of our Lord. We say sometimes that Christ sanctified marriage by his presence in Cana of Galilee. You ever heard that phrase before? Well, we could say this. Christ sanctified the little children by his laying hands upon them in Matthew chapter 19. Fathers and mothers, we can raise our children in the training and admonition of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. Do not provoke them to wrath and watch out for discouragement in their hearts. Love does this for our children. Teach them the Scriptures at every opportunity. Deuteronomy chapter 6 tells us, when you go and come and sit and stand up and lie down and everything, use every possible opportunity. Fathers, have those minds active, thinking, how can I use this circumstance to teach, instruct, admonish, nourish the faith of my little ones? Parents, we can set expectations for our children that they behave with increasing maturity and wisdom as they get older. Remember, the Bible says that in Proverbs 22, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. That is true still today because children are no better than they used to be. You know it, and I know it, because I used to be a child too. Pray for your children. Primarily, pray for them to be saved. Pray for them to do what I said earlier this morning, to love the Lord their God with all their hearts. When you start to see something capturing their love, it doesn't have to be a teenage crush, but anything that's capturing their love and attention, you make sure to nip it. Instruct and teach and emphasize the need to love the Lord their God with all their hearts. Read the Bible to them and with them, and other books from which you can learn spiritual things. The revelation of God brings light. The Word of God is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How much light is needed in this world of darkness? It is light that we need. Lead them to Christ. You know Christ, and you will know then how to lead those little ones to Him. I would encourage you not to push off or put down early professions of faith, but nurture those. Don't just think that the first word of positive affirmation of the gospel out of a child's mouth really means that they truly know Him either, but be sure that you nurture those things. And finally, how can we put in the Lord's example to practice? Dedicate your children to God. Give them to God. Let God do what He will with them. You have a plan for your children? You think your plan is better than God's plan? You think they'd be wasting their life if they were a pastor or a missionary or a stay-at-home mom or a pastor's wife? That's not how God thinks about it. Shoot for the highest goal and see what the Lord will do. Be like Hannah and Elkanah. I could have preached on this passage. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture in 1 Samuel chapter 1 to 3, where Hannah had no children. She was barren. She prayed for a child. God gave her a little boy. His name was Samuel. Shemuel. Heard of God. My prayer was answered because God heard. And not only did they give their son back to the Lord, that was despite her not having any other children. And think of this, the times in Israel were desperate. There was no open revelation from God. The society was utterly degraded. This was during the times of the judges. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And these parents are giving their son to minister with Eli in the temple. That took guts. That took faith. Our days are no different than those days. The revelation of God is trumped upon. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. There are those who call evil good and good evil. I ask you, are you willing to give your children to the Lord despite what may come for them if they are followers of Jesus? I hope that you will. It's clear that God loves the children. There are plenty of ways to ruin them, but there are great ways to raise them. Let us agree together that we will do what we can for these little ones in our church, as family, to see that they have the best upbringing in the world. We dedicate 4 babies today. We're here to see their parents express their dedication for them as well, to the task of raising children like Jesus would have them to the task of loving them, teaching them the things of God, bringing them regularly to church and praying for them, and all the other things that we've mentioned. I trust that the Lord's example will be powerful for us today as we carry out this dedication service. Let us close this part in prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray, oh, how I pray, that You will help us to have the same disposition toward children that You have in Your heart, that we will not look lightly upon this gift which You have given to us and the great responsibility that is attached thereto. May this service of dedication that we are about to experience be long remembered. And may the families be able to look back and, when the difficult days come, remind themselves that they gave their little men to the Lord and that they dedicated themselves to serve You through raising these children. We'll give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite David, if he'll come and lead us in hymn 68, and that'll give us a little minute here to get everybody down from the nursery and all organized here. So hymn number 68, Praise Him, Praise Him.
Let's stand as we sing together hymn number 68.
Our blessed Redeemer, sing, O earth, His wonderful law proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. By God's shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Thank you. You may be seated.
We have made a certificate of dedication for each of the children. And let me just read the first one here I happen to have is for Nathan Dwayne Reed. Certificate of dedication that Nathan Dwayne Reed was dedicated to the Lord before the Believers of Fellowship Bible Church of Ann Arbor, Michigan on this 10th day of November 2013 by his mother, Miss Ashley Reed, and his grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Dwayne Reed. And I didn't have room to put all the rest of your names. I'm sorry. So we'll leave it at that. But we say here, it is our prayer that Nathan will soon come to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, who died and rose again for him, that he could have everlasting life, and that his family will raise him according to the Holy Scriptures. We set him and them apart to you, O Lord, who alone can answer this prayer. And then I have my name on behalf of the church and our deacons as well participating this morning. So why don't I just start with the order I have them here and invite Ashley and Nathan, if you would come up here and on the platform. And I'm going to invite Dwayne and Kim as well as representatives of the rest of the family. And I will give this to you all. Maybe not you right now, but she has a beautiful handful. He's awake. There you are. And then I also have one for Josiah Judson Carnes. Says all the same things. So, Carnes, if you could come up here. Josiah is, what shall we say? He's the senior among the group of babies being dedicated today. Let me share this with you folks. And then we have Jonah Aaron Reeves. Jonah and Mom and Dad, if you would join us. And siblings as well. That's right. Now everybody can see you when you're up here. That's good. Noah, how about if I have you hold this, okay? All right. Did I give the right ones out? Somehow I got a duplicate. Well, the printer is going to be busy making the last one. Mr. Young Monty, if you would come forward. Gabriel and Becky, please come. Steve and Debbie, can I invite you to come as well, represent the rest of the family? Please. I'm sorry about that certificate not being ready. You know, we had a disaster. I put the certificates in the printer, and then my wife printed her Sunday school material, and it went on to the certificates. So I had a problem there. But anyway, I'm going to also invite Mr. Widgeon if he will come up and join us. All those pictures, too, by the way, will be welcome if you'd send them to me for placement on the Facebook page. I'm going to first ask if Brother Ben Carnes, as one of our deacons, will pray for all of the families and children. And then immediately after him, James Widgeon, and then I will pray as well.
and their grandparents and aunts and uncles, nieces and nephews, and pray for this church too, Lord. We ask, Lord, and we just thank you, Lord, that children are indeed your heritage, Lord. What a joy we can't even express. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to, as parents, to treasure that heritage, Lord. Pray, Lord, that you would help us to follow your command to diligently teach them your truth, Lord, as it says in Deuteronomy 6, Lord. And we see the example of the Israelites, what happened when they did not teach their children the truth. Lord, help us to learn from that example, to not be like that, Lord. Help us to be like Eunice, who passed on genuine faith to her daughter Lois, and who then passed genuine faith to her son Timothy. And we just thank you for that example in your word, Lord. Help us to pass on genuine faith, Lord. And we ask, Lord, that as Jesus said, suffer the little children to come. Pray, Lord, as a church, that you would help us not to put anything in the way of these children coming to Christ. And as parents, Lord, help us to actively bring them to Christ, Lord. And we pray, Lord, and ask for their salvation at an early age, Lord. We pray, Lord, we think how it says in Psalms 127 that children are like arrows in the hand of a mighty man. Lord, help us not to just see how they turn out, just passively watch how they grow up. Help us to be an active part in directing their lives and shaping and molding them to go out and serve and please you, to have lives that bring you much glory. Help us to be like Hannah, Lord, and who prayed to you that her son would serve you all the days of his life. Help us to desire the same thing for our children, Lord. And I pray, Lord, just, Lord, that you would help us to, as a church and as in our homes, to just provide a refuge from the evils of this world to protect our children, Lord. And also pray for the grandparents. It says in Proverbs that children's children are the crown of old men. And I just pray that you would be with the grandparents to be to show love and to be mentors to these children, Lord. And I pray all of these things in Jesus' name with much thanksgiving. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to add my voice of thanksgiving and amen to what has been said here this morning and to the prayers of my brother Ben. And Lord, we know that it is of thee, O Lord, that we have come, that you started out with the creation and created and allowed us to come, sinners as we are, born of Adam, those who without your provision would have no hope. These are the conditions into which these little ones have been born. But, O Lord, it is our prayer, our fervent prayer, that they will, in the earliest opportunity, in the earliest time available, avail to themselves that which has been provided for them through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus, that they, each one, can have eternal life and have the Spirit of God being a resident in them, directing and pointing their lives in the way that they should go. Oh, Lord, we pray that you will be pleased to hedge about these families as they work with their little ones. For the Carnes and the Reeves and the Reeves and the Montes. And Lord, also for our assembly here. For we are gathered as a local body of believers whose purposes are to do those things which are pleasing in the sight of the Lord. And one of those things is that we would do our part in helping these families and the bringing up of these ones in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And one of those awesome responsibilities for us is that effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous, that prayer which has been promised to avail much. And so help us to examine ourselves and purpose in our hearts to be those ones who pray those prayers which avail much. We ask in the name of Christ, our Savior, and with thanksgiving. Amen.
And now, our God, we know that we find no friend in the task before us in the world or the flesh or the devil, but in the Lord our God. And so, our God, we appeal to you this morning as we stand before you and these witnesses. We call upon your name as we dedicate each child to the Lord and their families. Oh Lord, I pray for little Gabriel and Nathan and Jonah and Josiah, that they will be men who will match their namesake in the Scripture, that they will be men who give themselves over to the Lord. Who knows, O God, but that you have sent them into this world, into this dark world, for such a time as this, to be used mightily by your hand. We pray that you might even raise up a pastor, a missionary, a Bible translator, or some other calling in these young men's lives that will do much good for the church and for the calling out for your name, a people for yourself. And so, we dedicate these little ones to you this morning. Also, Lord, we set apart their families, moms and dads and grandparents, and all the rest of their loved ones, that you might prevail in their lives against all those forces that work against them, that they would be able to raise these children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Thank you for the prayers of our deacons and for all the things that they have asked of thee as well. Please hear us. Although our touch and prayer cannot be compared to that of Jesus, our Savior, we trust that through Him and by help of the Holy Spirit, who makes those groanings which cannot be uttered because we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, that your will be done marvelously in the lives of these little children. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.
Got the hiccups. The Lord bless you. And how about this little guy?
Hey, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you for coming to dedicate him today. The Lord bless you, buddy. Yeah. So where is this little guy? There he is. Hey. Big guy. Lord bless you, too. We can print a new one. He fell asleep. Amen. The Lord bless you and you guys as well. Amen. As our families here go back to take their seats, really we're going to be dismissed. So with the Lord's blessing, I trust that you will go from this place. We'll have lunch just in a couple of minutes. I can smell that it's coming soon. So I hope that you'll be able to join us. Thank you to all the family who came today. This is just wonderful to see the place filled up and all the visitors to see this wonderful service this morning. Let's pray as we close briefly. Father, we ask that you will dismiss us from here with your blessing. We look for you to bless the time around the tables. Thank you for the provision that you've made for us in this way as well. And may we enjoy fellowship centered around Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray in his name. Amen. Amen.